There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Keith's in studio with us this morning, and we're working through some of the big stories that are developing in the world of foods, superfoods, and more. I mean, I just want to pick up on, that story off the back of our competition this morning. Almonds. It's one of those words that I really struggle with because I don't know what it is. I suppose I grew up with Mark Almond, and therefore, anytime it comes around, I'm an almond man. And my wife always corrects me and says, "No, Tom, it's almond. It's Bowie Bowie, isn't it?" So who knows? But again, can we class almonds as superfoods? Because we have seen their price escalate in recent years, and obviously a lot more focus on the crop.
I think that the concept of a superfood is so mistaken for what current nutrition zeitgeist leads us to believe.
Right.
I think there's much emphasis on what is the next superfood, and it's usually coming from some high up mountain grown by monks somewhere, and we have to pay extortionate amounts for. The definition of a superfood is something that gives you a lot of nutrients, and we also get lost on the fact that what food is supposed to give us is energy. I think milk is one of the best definition of a superfood. But you'll get people going, humans aren't meant to drink the milk of another animal. It's like, we've evolved to drink milk. We have got better at drinking milk. And for most people, drinking dairy products and consuming dairy products is very protective because it has high levels of calcium in it. But unfortunately, there's a naturalistic fallacy that drives us to think that a lot of foods in their rawest, wholest state is the best for us.
Yeah.
If we eat lots of almonds, for example, they can be full of cyanide that can pose problems. I've often found lots of people who consume lots of nuts and seeds have very interrupted digestive systems because from a evolutionary standpoint, nuts and seeds were collected to be eaten during winter time when food was sparse. And so I think almonds, kale, broccoli, they're not superfoods. Some of them have compounds that work really well in a test tube. But if we consume lots of them in their state outside of that, they can cause problems. And that's where aspects of balance and looking at a food and what it does to our physiology over time is really important to consider. And I think that the article on sustainability is useful to consider what happens when we grow crops in a monoculture, because monoculture tends to deplete land. Palm oil is a great one where you see what's been happening to the orangutans, for example. And when you see that, you can see that all vegetables and all other products grown in this monoculture can be very, very damaging to the environment. So from a superfood perspective, some of them do have some compounds in, but we need to be realistic about what we do when we consume them in larger amounts and also their effect on the environment.
We got to this conversation by talking about coconut products. Coconut oil specifically has been called out by one Harvard professor who's not made any friends for herself over in India of late. The agriculture minister out there coming out there and decrying those statements. That's prompted a big response from listeners this morning, people getting in touch with us. Those that are advocates of all things coconut and those that don't believe wholly in those. Let's go to the lines and hear from Finn. Finn joins us now. Finn, thanks very much indeed for your time this morning. Nice to have you on the show.
That's okay.
Are you a lover of all things coconut or not?
Yes, I do. I love the coconut, the milk from the coconut. I love the flesh from the coconut. I love, the products you can buy, the coconut water. Mm. And actually, my husband was actually cooking last night with coconut cream from a tin. And we've also got coconut milk from a tin. And I just think it's lovely. But I sort of understand it was like a complete food. You know, if you get a coconut, you've got you've got obviously liquid from it. And you've also got the flesh from it. I understood it to be a very, like a complete food in lots of ways.
Mm. We got Keith here as well. I mean, is that the perception as well? But or is it always come down to this idea of things in balance and maintaining diets with other ingredients?
Well, I think going back to what this professor was mistakenly putting out about something being toxic is that coconut does have a number of different things. Like you say, you have the water, you have the fat, you have the milk and cream that you can be using. I mean, when we start to eat things in too much of the same thing over time, that can be a problem. But that's where we need to look at things like macronutrients, your fats, proteins and carbohydrates in balance. To a degree, some people fluctuate do different percentages according to how much activity they do and various other factors. But I think if we're going to vilify the humble coconut, we could vilify literally every other food out there when we're talking about consuming it in excess.
Finn, do you feel better within yourself for consuming coconut products?
Yes, I love it. I mean, the coconut water, I often buy that. I love it. I love drinking that. But yeah, coconut, I tend to probably not... things like coconut cream and coconut milk from tins, I still like it. But I know that I shouldn't... I was actually spooning some out of a tin this morning. So, but I know that it's not great to drink loads of it because of the fat content, you know. Mm. I think with... But I love it. Yes, I could carry on quite easily.
Everything in moderation, Finn. Thanks so much indeed for your call this morning. That was Finn giving us thoughts on coconut products. Are you a believer in coconut products? Or do you concur with the findings of the revered Harvard professor who claims that they are or could be deemed to be pure poison? 4001. That was just with regards to the coconut oil. I must just reiterate that one. David, thank you to you. Remember, there are many benefits of coconut oil that's good for the skin as well. Helps when your skin is dry and itchy. If your skin is dry, it could be a sign up of deficiency of omega-3. Colder temperatures usually bring on problems of dry, itchy and scaly skin. Many people develop eczema from their dry, itchy skin. I did as a youngster, and my mother always used to apply coconut oil. So the benefits, according to David, are far and wide. And this one's come from out there, from Gopi out there, saying, I'm going to conduct my own study to show how university professors are more poisonous to society than coconut oil. Is that fair, Keith Littlewood?
I think that's very fair, especially when they use words like that. Yeah,
it's been an interesting little chat with all of us. I suppose the one thing that sort of is coming out of this from me, whether it be... Is it almonds or almonds? I can't remember now. I'll get a sec. Is it almonds? Whether it be coconut oil, coconut products, whether it be probiotics, prebiotics, you know, the sort of the common thread between all, and correct me if I'm wrong, seems to be common sense, does it not?
Yeah. And never take one source of information from a specific source. I mean, if you had never been exposed to coconut oil before and just heard this Harvard professor's words, then you might just be convinced. That's where you need to look at multiple sources of information to make up your own mind on this. And yeah, there's a lot of foods that are commonplace that we know that eating them in moderation is relatively good for us.
Talk to me about common sense because one of the stories that I wanted to address with you, run out of time on this occasion, but next time you're in, we'll look at it in more detail. But I loved this one over the summer. I was back in the UK for a bit, but it's one that was picked up globally. It was recommendation that came through from National Health Guidelines, basically saying because of the pressure being put on clinics and hospitals and GPs as well for people coming in with common colds and a bit of a grumble and things like that. And people basically saying honey and over-the-counter medicine should be the first line of treatment for most people with coughs and sniffles before you even go to see your doctor as well. And again, we're getting back to sort of common sense and basics.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of, you can almost call them old wives' tales about what makes people get, you know, weller sooner. And if you look at some of the old remedies, chicken soup, because it has bone broth in it, and there are very many healing qualities, that honey, because it acts like a natural antiseptic, getting sunlight, you know, regular movement. There are many things that are out there that have been around for a long period of time that people forget about doing. Mm. We know that exposure to sunlight is very, very healing to the human body because of vitamin D and the red light rays. So there are a number of things that we can look at. And I think one of the main features of that is trying to avoid too much exposure to antibiotics, which we know can cause many problems, primarily because bacteria get stronger. They develop a sense of, it's a bit like weight training. You get stronger because you're exposed to the same demand, and you get stronger to meet that demand. And that's the same with how cells and bacteria respond to threats. Mm. It's how human biology has evolved over many millions of years, is that when we're exposed to something, you know, you become stronger to it. And so what they're trying to do is to decrease the incidence of, you know, bacterial resistance to antibiotics. That makes a lot of sense because there are a lot of things that we can do to get stronger to avoid that. And honey is great because it does actually act as a natural antibiotic, an antiseptic. So it can, you know, quell certain bacterial overgrowth.
I know there is a big problem for a number of people here, and I don't want to make light of the fact that a lot of people don't have the levels of medical insurance that they should have to get regular treatment, and that sort of, there is that fear factor. But equally, there is a large part of the population here who have good medical insurance. Have we become too reliant on that as well? So as soon as we get a sniffle, as soon as we get a little bit of a pain, we're straight to the doctor because we know we've got insurance to cover it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as soon as if there's something where we, you know, we're feeling ill, I think we should be able to become slightly more robust to say, hey, I feel sick, I'm going to go and do something about it. You know, stick it out for a couple of days, see what happens. You don't know, obviously, there's a counter to that. If you're on your deathbed, you seek medical assistance. Don't say Keith said, oh, I just need to stick it out. And then the coffin arrives or something.
Keith, the left arm's just fallen off. Am I still all right? Yeah, you got another one.
It's just a flesh wound. So, yeah, we need to apply some common sense. If you've got a cold and that, stick it out. Our body has an immune system and cells that are designed to help us get over these things. We have a certain amount of tolerance. So getting some sunshine, getting some chicken soup, getting some honey, getting some vitamin C, which is very big for the immune system, can help us out. And if you're kind of stuck in an office all day, not getting much sun and not eating foods that support your immune system, then try that. It's a big step in the right direction rather than heading to the doctor's office and relying on an antibiotic.
And like I say to all of my kids, every time they come with a grumble, just drink some water, you'll be all right. You know, drink loads of water. You should be okay. You'll be fine tomorrow morning. Good place to start. Keith, we're going to leave it there with you. I know you've got to get off. You've got a busy, busy, busy day ahead of you. It's been wonderful having you here. If people have been, a number of people have been texting in looking for free advice. They want to catch up with you for more as well if they want to take advantage of your professional services. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you, sir?
Well, my website, balancedbodymind.com, has got lots of information and my contact details on there. On Instagram, I'm Tomo Littlewood, T-O-M-M-O. Yeah, that's probably the best place you can find me.
Keith Littlewood is a rehabilitation and performance coach who specialises in pain relief, movement and energy digestion. And we thank you for being with us this morning.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.